Let's come to God's Word this morning and let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you are with us, Lord. Thank you that you are loving God. Lord, thank you for each one who's here. Thank you for your presence here. I pray for your grace, for your anointing upon me as I share your Word, Lord. I just pray that as I speak, it would be you speaking, Lord. Pray that you would take the Word and it would accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the title of my message is, you know, our tagline as Word of Grace is enjoying God, making friends, changing lives. Okay, enjoying God is our relationship with God, with Jesus. We get saved, we have a relationship with Him. That's fantastic. But equally important is the horizontal relationship with one another. And often we value this relationship, but we don't pay so much attention to this relationship. Would you agree with that? Yeah? And today we want to look at God's Word and say, listen, how important is it to develop this relationship, all right, with one another? The horizontal aspect of, if you look at it as the cross. But what we're going to do is we're going to just skim through Scripture and we're going to look at the amazing growth of the church in the book of Acts. Okay, so let's get ready. We'll run Acts chapter 1. Okay, when Jesus died on the cross, you remember this? Yeah, Jesus had been beaten, scourged, and he died on the cross. And at that time, in Acts chapter 1, there were about 120 believers who gathered together. That's what they were. So 120 believers, only 120 gathered together. And during this time, Jesus died on the cross and he rose again from the dead 3 days later. And he appeared to these 120 and other believers. Okay, look at Acts chapter 1 verse 3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Okay, so this is Jesus, and he appeared to his disciples, and he showed them that, hey, I'm alive, convincing proofs. Okay, and we know Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again from the dead. And this morning I want to say to each one of you, if there is anybody here who has not yet put their faith in Jesus, who has not yet had their sins forgiven, you can have all your sins forgiven by just believing in Jesus, that he died and he rose again. He will give you the power to turn away from your sins. Okay, and your sins will be forgiven and he will give you new life. So this is what Jesus did. Okay? And then he gave them a command. He said, don't leave Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's verse 4 onwards. And he says, wait for the Holy Spirit. So that's what they did. They waited for the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then we see in Acts chapter 2 verse 41, after the Holy Spirit came upon them, they're just skimming through these things. Peter preached an amazing message and 3,000 people were saved. Okay, that's Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Austin mentioned about baptisms. You see, trusting and putting our faith in Jesus is one element, it's one step of the way. The next step is to be actually immersed, baptized in water. So if you've never been immersed in water as a believer, that's one of the requirements. That's one of the commands in the Bible. All right? Be baptized. So come and see me. We'd love to talk to you more about that. Okay. Then in Acts chapter 2 verse 47. Okay, so remember, this church from 120 became 3,000 in a day. It became a mega church. And in verse 47 it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Turn to somebody and say, daily. Daily. Can you imagine? Every day the church grew. You know, it's nice to see new people here every week. But for them it was every day, daily. And that was fantastic. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Wow! From 120, okay, to 3,000, to daily growth, to 5,000 men. And now we know that in any Christian setting, the women and children more than outnumber the men. Isn't that true? Generally, it's true. Yeah, it's true. And so if there were 5,000 men, there must have been many more women and children. Okay, so already it's 10,000 plus people. Wow. And then Acts chapter 5, verse 14 says this. "Nevertheless, more and more," or the word is really multitudes, "of men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number." Wow. This was supernatural, phenomenal growth. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. "In those days when the number of disciples was increasing," multiplying, again, more growth. And Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says, So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. So this was not just addition growth, but exponential multiplication growth. And right at the end of Acts chapter 21, verse 20, it says there that when they heard this, they praised God. They said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands," turn to somebody and say thousands, "thousands of Jews have believed." Wow. Wouldn't you have loved to live in those days? Yeah. From 120, it is thousands. Phenomenal growth. Now, what did they do? You know, we know God's favor was upon them. But as we, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Once we'll go back to Acts chapter 2. And we look at the early church when they came together. There were some practices that they were engaged in. Okay? And Acts chapter 2 verse 42, they did this. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many signs and wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Okay, these were some of the practices that they engaged in. What did they do? They devoted themselves to the word, apostles' teaching, to the fellowship. What does that mean? We'll look at that in a bit. Okay, really what it means is community. Okay, and that's what I'm going to speak about. To the breaking of bread, we did that today. Prayer, we've done that. We've got the prayer chain going. Okay, and there were signs and wonders. We want to see that happening. But look at the love that they had there. All the believers were together. Okay, get that? Together. They were united. And they had everything in common. Okay, they shared with one another. Selling their possessions, they gave to everyone as they had need. And verse 46, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Okay? Now, one thing that we've seen here and we see elsewhere in Acts is this. The disciples, imagine 10,000, 15,000 people. That's a big meeting, isn't it? So it says here they met in the temple courts. Okay? So the temple was huge. There may have been multiple courts. They didn't meet inside the temple, but outside. It's like, imagine this is the temple, they would meet outside there. Okay? And so they would meet there, but they also met in homes. And that's what I'm going to speak about today. So I want to ask you, you know, you've spent a lot of time coming here this Sunday morning, right? I don't know who's the furthest away from here, but it takes preparation to get up and to come and effort and money and time to make it for the meeting. And I want to commend you for that. And we've been meeting here, and it's like meeting the large meeting where we are meeting in the temple courts. And that is one part of what these people did. Okay, the other part of it, you know, and Paul speaks about it elsewhere, where he says he went from house to house teaching and proclaiming the good news of Christ. Okay? So in the New Testament, they met in the large group gatherings or the worship meetings, but they also met in homes. Is that true? Yeah. If you've seen elsewhere in the Bible, it says, greet the church in your home. Now, 10,000 people would find it very difficult to fit into any home, isn't it? I mean, no matter how big the home is. But they met in homes. Okay? So now keep this in mind. Temple court is the worship, the big meeting. Homes where they ate. I mean, can you imagine 10,000 people eating in a home together? One pot of biryani. They'll be serving one another. It would take forever. Okay, so there were small groups. So what I'm trying to help us understand is that the small group meeting, what do we call our small group meetings? Gyms. Okay, now this is for the benefit of the visitors. We don't lift weights and do things there. You can, but really gym stands for God, you, and me. It's a small group meeting. And I feel as a church, this is one area we need to grow in, all right? A large meeting, I love it. I love our Sunday meetings. It's great. We come here, you know, there's amazing worship. And, you know, Babu, thank you for appreciating the worship team. Great. You know, that's powerful, meeting one another. But there are some dynamics in the large group meeting that cannot be fulfilled in a large group meeting, that can only be fulfilled in a small group meeting. Okay? Like, for example, we can't spend much time getting to know one another in a large group setting. But when just 5 or 10 gather together, the dynamics are different. Okay? And so I want to help us to see that the small group meeting is as important. Turn to somebody and say, as important. Okay, it is as important as the large group meeting. In Acts chapter 20, okay, Paul is meeting with the Ephesian elders, okay, and he says, where is that? Okay, I can't find that verse, but it's okay. He was going from house to house preaching the gospel. So it's a large group and the small group. Everybody with me? Now, can we do this? Okay? I'm going to say clap, one clap and you clap. All right, together. We learned this yesterday at GLS. Okay, ready. One clap. Okay, two claps. Great. Three claps. Super. Now let's do the same thing, only use your right hand. One clap. No. You see? You need another hand. You can't clap. All right? So, okay. I'd like to have 3 young volunteers to come up here. Fit. Fit is important. Fit. Okay. Come on. Young, 3 young fit guys. Who's? Huh? No, not 2. You must be able to walk from here to there. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, all of them, give them a big hand. Come. Okay. Watch. Okay, all of you all form a line. Yeah, and you're going to walk this way. I mean, sorry. Three abreast. Yeah, okay. Just walk from here to here. Wonderful. No race, no nothing. Just walk. Wonderful. Great. Keep going. Come here. Okay, turn back again. This is the... Superb. You're okay? No problem. Okay, now hold one leg up like this. Okay, ready? Okay, just walk slowly. Don't put it down. Keep going back again. Yeah? Okay, hold it, kid. Don't put it down. Just hold it there. Okay. We can see who's most fit. Okay, hold it. All right. Okay. Now, what was that verse we were looking at? Just keep it on. Okay. Keep coming. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Now, wasn't it more difficult with one leg? Yeah. How long do you think they would have sustained it? Not too long, isn't it? Now, Word of Grace Church is like that. Okay? One leg is held up. This leg is our Sunday worship. Okay? It's great. This leg is our small group meetings. Okay? And the whole body cannot reach its full potential because one leg is held back. Now, who's holding that leg back? Is it the devil? Is it God? No. Us. All right? We can make that leg go down. Now, how do we make the leg go down? This is what it means. Okay? We make that leg go down by being committed to meeting in homes. That's what it is. Now, I commend you. You know, we have people coming from Bavdan. Anita, where have you come from? Digi. Anybody knows where Digi is? No. You need a visa to get there. Okay? It's far. And then you have Christy and Esther who come from Chinchwad. Okay? Chinchwad. There are flights that go there. Okay. Now, people travel a long distance to come. And we put in a lot of effort to be here on a Sunday morning. That's the leg that's down. And that's wonderful. You know, we've got a setup team that comes early, sets it up. Brilliant. Everything. There's a whole army that works behind the scenes. Okay? But when it comes to the small group meeting, somehow we think it's not as spiritual as the big meeting. Isn't that so? Yeah? We think, it's in somebody's house. You know? It's 5 people or 10 people meeting. And it's okay if I miss it. Okay, now I want to say to you that, you see, Jesus says, love one another. But John 13, 34 and 35. What is the mark of a disciple? The mark of a disciple is this. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Okay, this love for one another cannot be shown sufficiently on a Sunday morning. On a Sunday morning, I don't know who's sick this morning here. I don't know who's depressed. I don't know who's in need of something. But in a small group setting, we can gather together. We can share with one another our joys, our sorrows. We can have a time of worship where, you know, if you have 8 people, everybody can pray out. Today, how many people prayed out? 5, 6, you know. But in a small group setting, you can practice your spiritual gift. You can contribute. You can do that. Okay? In a small group setting, there is some kind of accountability. In a large group, it's anonymity. You know, people don't know if you've come or not come, largely. But in a small group meeting, yeah, you know, oh, where's Tom, Dick? Oh, they've gone out with Harry. Okay, whatever. But, you know, they're missed. They've not come for the meeting. Whereas in a larger group setting, you may miss somebody for several weeks. Okay? And so, meeting in small groups is critical. Otherwise, we are like this. And I want to ask you this morning to make every effort to make it to your gym meetings. Okay? Make every effort to make it to your gym meetings. Okay? You sacrifice so much to come here on a Sunday. And that's commendable. I'm asking you, can you put in that same effort to make it to the gym meeting? Okay? Now, we're going to look at a few scriptures this morning to show that, you know, love, and when we meet together, what are we demonstrating? We are demonstrating love. Yeah, when we are meeting together, we are obeying scripture, but we are then loving one another. And the Bible is full of commands to love one another. Now, I think most people work and come home, maybe 7, 8 o'clock, it's difficult, you know, commute, all these things. Yeah, would you agree that happens? Yeah, pressure, stress at work, you're tired, the traffic, I know we're praying for it, it's going to improve, all that is there. But I want to ask you, can you pull yourselves up for the sake of love. Turn to somebody and say, love. Love. Now, what do I mean by love? Okay. When Nawaz and I were engaged, we were living in Bombay. All right? And we finished work, you know, okay? But we wanted to see one another. Now, okay, in those days, there were no cell phones. I didn't have a bike or a car or anything. You used public transport. No phone. So, you know, call the office. And so we just say, are we meeting tonight? Great, okay, whatever time. And then my office was far away in Andheri, kind of related to Bombay, but let's say it was Chinchwad, far away, all right? She lived at the other end. Now, what do I say? I'm tired today, I won't come and see you. Do you think I'd do that? No. I'm looking forward to meeting her. Wow. So no matter what happened, listen, so no matter how my day was, I finished my work and my goal is I want to meet Nawaz because I love her. Oh. So these are the things I do. I take a bus to the station, take a train from the station to Bandra, take another bus or a rick and we'd meet somewhere. Okay, take a bus probably, not a rick. Okay, and then we would spend a couple of hours together, and then we would take a bus, public transport, to go back home. Oh, those were tough days. Okay, I'd get home, whatever time in the night, just quickly wash up, and then I'd crash and go to sleep, and then go to work the next morning, and that would happen. Now, what gave me the energy to do that? Love. Okay, and the same thing for the gym meetings. What will propel you to go forward? It's your love for one another. That's what it is. It's not anything else. I mean, you get great snacks at the gym meeting, let me tell you. Okay? Now, at our gym, I don't know about camp, but at our NIBM gym, last week we had Ranald. Ranald bought some nice puffs. Okay? Nawaz made a delicious cake. And Meher made this, all I know is there was rum in it. Okay, so those are the, that's the icing on the cake as well, all right? Literally, it's a no pun intended. Now, if you go to Joanna's gym, oh, they serve a whole meal, all right? That's there. And Bavdan meal is this, Bavdan is the same. So it's different things happen. And then you have the camp gym, you know. So that's great. So it's part of eating together and being together. But it's important. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that speak about love. Okay, let's turn to 1 John. I would encourage you to read 1 John. Okay, in every, you know, in almost every chapter, he speaks about love. Like in 1 John chapter 2. Verses 9 to 11. Okay. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Saying that, listen, number one is we cannot hate one another. Now we can think of hate as, I want to do something bad. But hate can be indifference. I don't care about the person. Okay, there's hate and there's love. Either you'll hate somebody or you'll love somebody. Love is an action. Love is not an emotion. Okay, love is a decision to act in a certain way towards another person. Let's look at another script. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And it goes on, and then it jumps on to verse 11, which says, this is the message we heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And so forth, it goes on. But it says, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Okay? So really, the proof that you are truly born again is not that you lift your hands up, is that you love your brothers and your sisters. That is the proof. You know? It's like this. I remember somebody, it's another story, another time. Okay? So we need to love one another. That's what it says there. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. That nails it. You know, it's so easy to say, I love you, isn't it? But it says with actions and in truth. Words and tongues is easy. Okay, I'll tell you this, what I was thinking. You know, it's connected, but not this thing. It's an analogy. There was a bumper sticker, you know, that says, honk, honk, you know, honk, pop, honk if you love Jesus. All right? I think somebody must have put it in Bombay or in Pune, because everybody honks, they love Jesus. But that's a bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. Now, does it cost us anything to honk? No, we do it all the time in India, you know, several times when you drive somewhere. So somebody had a counter to that bumper sticker. He says, tithe if you love Jesus. Anybody can honk. Got it? Tithe if you love Jesus. So the point I'm making is, to say I love you, brother, I love you, sister. Why am I calling you brother and sister? Because I don't know your name. Okay. So, okay, we can say, you know, so that's what we do. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. What's his name? Okay. But really, loving involves not just tongue and words, but action and truth. So what does action and truth means? Action and truth means you have to get your body to the gym meeting. That's part of it. You're tired. You may be feeling a bit under the weather. All right, whatever you're feeling, but you're saying, hey, I love my brothers and sisters. We're going to worship in a small group. We're going to study God's word. We're going to share testimonies about what happened in our lives. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to build one another up. We're going to encourage one another. I am important. I don't want to be this part of the body holding the rest up, but I'm going to be there. All right? That's important. Couple more. 1 John 4, verse 7. It says this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. He's going on and on. 4, 5 times. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Okay? Have you received the love of Jesus in your life? Have you had your sins forgiven? Yes, that's what it means, atoning sacrifice. Then he says, verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Okay? God's loved us. He's died on the cross for our sins. So he says, because he's died, you love one another. Okay? And, one John 5 is full of it again. Okay? So, are we convinced we need to love one another? Yeah? This love is not just in words and in tongue, but in action. How does it actually happen? Okay? This is what happens. When you get together with a small group of people, you have an opportunity to get to know one another. Okay? There's a heart-to-heart, there's a community that is built. You share your week, whatever happened. You can pray for one another. We can worship together. We can share what we're doing in the Word. we have gifts we can share with one another. Gifts as in spiritual gifts and other things. But this is what, if each one of us does that, yeah, what are we doing? This leg is coming down. It's in your hands to do that. And I want to urge you, every opportunity to meet together in fellowship, grab it. Grab it. Okay? We're going to end this morning, and we're going to say this. Our coming together is vital. It's critically important. It's as important as coming on a Sunday morning. Okay? We value the Sunday morning. I'm asking you, will you value the small group meeting, whether it is a gym or a prayer meeting or something? Find a solution. Say you've got a small baby. Okay, one person stays home, you know, the husband, let the wife go. Or the other way around, take turns doing that. Okay, but let's be a people who meet together.